The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition of the podcast, and a great Saturday coming up as well. It's St. Ledger Day at Doncaster, the final classic of the year. We also have racing at Chester, Bath and Lingfield in the afternoon, and there's all weather racing on Saturday evening from Kempton. Gordon Brown, John Budden and Gareth Toppin will be the team in the studio, and they'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line by Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm good, Mark. How are we going?
Yes, not too bad, thank you. We're obviously going to be talking a lot about Doncaster on this edition of the podcast, and there's plenty of news surrounding that and the Irish St. Ledger kind of couple of stories tie in. But before we move on to that, I think we should start away from that a little bit with the news around the jump season, which is we are in the final classic of the year, by the way, so we're nearly towards the jump season, and the news surrounds Haydock and the Betfair Chase, the first Group 1 grade one rather of the season, and because of the troublesome grass growth and the warm summer that we've had, they're going to have to run it on the flat track, which means the Betfair Chase this year will be over 3 miles and 1 furlong. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to cause too much problems, to be honest. If you look at the horses that are likely to be running in that, so obviously Sylvaniaca Conti, Long Run, they're all capable of staying like the Gold Cup trip 3 mile 2. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. It might be I'm just looking here and sort of when you get to the races sort of becoming 2 miles and a furlong rather than 2 miles. Do you know what I mean? You might encounter a problem with something that really needs a sharp 2 miles. But I don't think for the Betfair Chase it's going to cause that many problems.
Okay, I suppose my slight concern with it would be that a lot of horses go to the Betfair Chase, obviously not quite fully primed, and that extra furlong, if the flagging towards the end not fully wound up, then it's going to find a few out, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be. I think obviously we've had such a warm summer that if you look at the Betfair Chase last year, which was we'd had such a wet summer, it was run on soft ground. I think sort of ground comes into it. Obviously, if they're going to be going 3 mile 1 on stamina sapping ground, yeah. But I don't know. Heard about it, read about it, and thought, well, it doesn't. And also reading the reports from the trainers, sort of both, Robert Whaley-Cohen saying that he's very upbeat about it and saying that it doesn't matter that much because Haydock's sharp enough, and Paul Nicholls obviously saying about that's going to be a starting point for Sylvaniaca Conti, that it doesn't really sort of bother him either. So kind of, yeah, I'm definitely sitting more that side. I can understand what you're saying, but I'd be more on that side really.
Both connections of Sylvaniaca Conti and Long Run seem quite happy with the decision in the end, don't they? They both want the extra trip, so yeah, that's fair enough. And further trouble for Haydock is the fact that they're not even going to be able to stage the first jumps fixture of the season either. That's on October the 30th, and that's going to be transferred to Carlisle, but the prize money won't change, so it shouldn't really affect the fields or anything too much, but bad news for Haydock, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, God, I had no idea that. Well, I guess you wouldn't, that things had got that. But I take it that it's sort of the repairs have literally been sort of held up by the ridiculously hot summer that we had. I say that because I don't really like the heat. But yeah, so it seems to have taken its toll there.
You don't like the heat?
No, I'm a winter person.
No. Right, this cold snap will be I say cold snap, it's not that cold, but it's definitely raining too much, which isn't good news for me in a cast.
No, it's not. And crutches.
Yes, slipping all over the place. Anyway, let's leave that there, and let's talk about Doncaster then, because a few stories connected to the St. Ledger, and we'll start with Galileo Rock, who is a major doubt for the St. Ledger due to the softer ground. He needs a quicker surface, so connections considering going to Ireland and the Irish equivalent instead on Sunday.
Yeah, all sort of vibes are that he will sort of run in the Irish St. Ledger, which is fair enough. I believe sort of Donny are saying that they will be getting up to sort of 4 millimetres of rain overnight, which, I mean, it's already looking on the soft side there, isn't it? It was tomorrow, it could sort of be quite attritional by the end of the ledger. Yeah, I can understand it. It's fair enough. You would sort of expect Gallagher, Lair, Rock really to go off favourite for the Irish and ledger, and as I said, all vibes seem to be pointing that you will see him at the Curragh rather than Doncaster.
Yes, and whilst we're on the subject of the Irish St Ledger as well, news from the Brown Panther camp. Michael Owen has apparently tweeted saying that Brown Panther will not take part in Sunday's Irish St Ledger. He's got a temperature and he hasn't eaten, so not looking good for Brown Panther, especially considering that he'll have to be going to quarantine soon if he's going to take part in the Melbourne Cup as well. So they'll be hoping for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, it's a massive shame that. Especially sort of after you saw what he did at Goodwood. I think the vibes are is that they're saying, I mean, he's obviously definitely out of Sunday, but that he really needs to start making a recovery if they can think about Melbourne. But let's hope he does. Let's hope he turns it around in the next couple of days and they can head out to Australia.
Hopefully so. Yeah, because it's just when he seems to be going back the right way again. They've been hit with this. It's a little bit unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it was sort of it was really nice seeing the sort of pure joy amongst the connections afterwards. You know, Michael Owen was absolutely. I mean, he was practically in orbit, wasn't he? You know, it's a real shame for them because I'd give him a live chance in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But let's hope he recovers. Fingers crossed for Brown Panther.
Okay, we'll leave that there. Let's move on to Saturday's racing then. A great day in prospect at Doncaster, of course. And we're going to preview three of the races on that card. We're going to preview the Portland Handicap. So 22 of them for you to pick through there, Catherine. The Park Stakes, which is a Group 2, and the feature race, of course, the St Ledger. So we'll start in the 240, which is the Portland Handicap. As I mentioned, 22 runners for this Class 2 Handicap. And we have some betting on site for this already. So if you want to bet, you can do already. Bogart is the 8-1 favourite. Doc Hay 10-1. Steps 11s. Confessional and Elusivity are both 12-1. Ajard is 14-1 with Burwaz. It's 16s about Addictive Dream, Barnet Fair, Definitely, El Viento, Magical Macy, Racy, Zero Money. All of them are 16-1, and then 20-1 or bigger prices. The rest, as usual, it's a wide open Portland.
Yeah, but we agreed on the races that we were doing, when I looked at the Portland, I thought, oh my God. But I guess if we sort of look at the favourite, now, obviously broke the track record at York, up £5 for that. Kevin Ryan, obviously responsible for that 100-1 winner yesterday, Morning Post. My problem with Bogart is if the rain's going to get any more, he has one on good to soft, but I think he likes to hear his hooves rattle. And I wouldn't. How is that? 8-1's and an all right price, but in this race of a competitive nature, I don't. I think I would have to pass him over purely on account of the ground.
Yeah.
The one I'm starting to take very seriously is the Roger Varian trained Steps. I know he's been supported in the last few days, and obviously Roger Varian back in form after the virus that sort of ruled the whole team out of the York meeting. I think he'll definitely like sort of predicted underfoot conditions. He's versatile on the ground anyway, but he has sort of, he's won twice on the soft, I believe. I think he can forgive the sort of almost, even though he's second at Ascot last time, he can almost sort of forgive, he's quite lacklustre in that. Obviously that was pretty much happening as the stable started to go under the cloud. Obviously, he's drawn 11 of 22, so I just hope that he doesn't run into any traffic problems. But he's one I'm keeping on side. Have to look at Confessional, obviously up 6 from his sort of bounce back to form at Haydock last time out. Yeah. No surprise to see him follow up here. One also I really, you know, when you keep looking at something and you go, no, and then you delve a bit deeper and you think, maybe, is Ajad. What price is Ajad with you?
Ajad is 14-1.
14.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think he's versatile on the ground. He's versatile on the track as well. He seems to sort of win on very sort of straight galloping tracks. And then he loves a bit of the undulations. He won at Epsom. He likes Goodwood. He was also, he ran an absolute blinder behind Rex Imperator at Goodwood in the Stewards' Cup. Kevin Stott takes off the 7. So now he'll be carrying 8-11. When you just get a feeling.
Yes. I can see where you're coming from. That run at Goodwood. It was a blinder. And with the benefit of the claimer, he's run off, effectively a lighter weight, isn't he?
Yeah.
This time, so, Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. 14-1's not a bad each way price either. Anything else in the rest that's caught your eye? I mean, you've touched on confessional. You've got the likes of El Viento and Zero Money that come into this in winning form, and plenty of others that could bounce back. It's, you know, plenty of others with chances, aren't there?
Yeah, I sort of had a little look at Zero Money as well. Obviously, he's got a lovely draw, but I think it's sort of one of those races, Mark. You could sit there and actually, it's such a competitive handicap, where you could sit there and actually make a case for all 22 runners. Do you know what I mean? We could sort of still be talking on this race till 4 o'clock this afternoon. it's one of those, and so I was thinking if I had to narrow it down, then I would be against the favourite just purely on ground. And if I'm going to have a sort of play in the race, it would be Steps, closely followed by Ajad.
Okay, I'll allow you two in the race, since
okay,
it's 22.
Thank you.
So we'll go with Steps and Ajad in that one. Then on to the 3:15 at Doncaster, which is the OLBG Park Stakes, which is a Group 2 contest over the 7-furlong trip. And the betting for this one is headed by Gregorian, who's 100-30. Aljama here is 7-2. Vistoria 11-2. Serious Prospect 7s. Lockwood 8. Sovereign Debt is 10-1. It's 12-1 about Casper Netcher, and then 16-1. Or bigger prices the rest. And Gregorian bounced back to form with quite a bang last time.
Yeah, he did, and he's going to absolutely love the ground. He's mixed it with the best already this season. And he obviously was third to Declaration of War in the Queen Anne. He ran in the Sussex. He's can understand why he's heading the market. I think second favourite Aljama here. Are we going to see him, you know, in the morning with the ground? I think if the ground was good to firm, I would be all over Aljama here. You can forgive the run in France again, the stable just going under a cloud. I think Roger Varian actually came out and said that in the week, that he wasn't, you know, he could write off his run in France. It was a time when they were going into their bad point. He's only beaten three quarters of a length by Declaration of War in the Queen Anne. Second in the Lockage, which ties into all sorts of like serious form lines this season, but it's just the ground for me. I am very, very interested in the filly, Vistoria. What price is she with you, Mark?
Vistoria is 11-2, third favourite.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Lyman knows the time of day. He won this race with Duff in 2009, I believe. She gets the filly's allowance. She wasn't disgraced at all behind Skylantern at Ascot. Back to her trip here. Oh, she's going to absolutely love the ground. She absolutely hacked up in a Group 3 at the Curragh in May on yielding ground. And yeah, she's all, my pin is starting to come down on there. There's all sorts in here that's going to love the ground. Lockwood's going to love, obviously, he's right back to form. He's going to love the ground. Casper Netcher's going to love the ground. I think I'm going to go with Vistoria.
Okay. Vistoria there then in the Park Stakes. And let's move on to the feature race and the St. Ledger, which is a Group 1 contest, part of the British Champion Series. It's over a mile and 6.5 furlongs, and it is the final classic of the year. And Excess Knowledge is the 7-2 favourite. Galileo Rock, we already spoke about the fact that he might not go to the race. He's currently 4-1 joint second favourite with Leading Light. Foundry is 6-1. Libertarian 8. Talent is 10-1. Secret Number 14-1. Kappa Rush is 16-1. And then bigger prices, the remaining three runners. So it's Excess Knowledge now who's gone clear favourite for the Ledger.
Yeah, I can understand that. Obviously, he's going to improve from the trip. This race is almost like a Godolphin O'Brien Gosden showdown of everyone that loves to win the Ledger. Do you know what I mean? It's like a, there's not a duel because there's three of them, but you know what I mean. I can't think of the word. But yeah, obviously, William Burke obviously dropped the reins at Goodwood. Everything seems to be pointing with a massive arrow to Excess Knowledge, doesn't it? Mm. The run at Sandown, he's sandwiched obviously between Asari and David Livingstone. That form's pretty good. Yeah, I can see it, but I just don't know. Is he going a little bit too short? Yeah, I was at Epsom on Derby Day, and I was sort of standing there, and literally as they passed the line, I wrote St. Ledger in my race card next to Libertarian, which I'm sure many people did. I had discussions sort of in the weeks after that with many people. So obviously, I was in dismay when the wheels came off the bus in the Irish St. Ledger. But when I've gone back to his form, there's a very sort of downbeat reports from connections and sort of they say he's not showing much at home, but then they believe that Carl Burke, you know, he always reported that he didn't show much at home. And I just wonder if on Irish Derby Day it had literally gone like a road. I just wonder, was he not letting himself down on that? He sort of, he seems to be quite a strange sort of horse. I mean, he looked a picture in the paddock at Epsom. You would have had him as your paddock pick. And seeing as I was with him sort of from so early on in the season, I don't, even with all the downbeat reports, the terrible run in the Irish Derby, I don't really want to desert him. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Leading Light win this, especially sort of after, for the connections, and obviously Joseph O'Brien, especially after last year. He's going to have actually no problem with the trip. He'll go on the ground. I think he quite likes a bit of a slog, which I think this might turn to be. Secret Number and Found Jewel, she went into quite a few notebooks after their runs behind Telescope at York, but I don't know. I've watched again Foundry, and I'm like, I can't really see it, but then you'll probably go and hack up now. But yeah, I really don't want to desert Libertarian, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, with Libertarian, I think the run in the Irish Derby could purely just have been too many runs on the spin. He was very busy, wasn't he? And the ground, obviously, rattling quick, that might not have suited. Never really got into the race, does he? William Buick retains a ride, which I think is a positive.
Yes, very much.
My only slight question mark around Libertarian is, yes, he's been staying on at the end of his races, but if it does become a real slog, and he hasn't stayed this far before, maybe he might be found out towards the end of the race. But yeah, I could see where a lot of people would have put him in the notebooks, and I'd like to see him bounce back, because I quite like him as well.
I like him, yeah.
Okay, is that the way you're going to... How are you playing the ledger then? What are you going to go with?
I will go... I'm going to stay true to the... stay true to the horse I picked out at the beginning of the season and go for Libertarian. But I absolutely would be no surprise to see Leading Light going.
Okay. Right, let's have a quick summary then, if we can. Catherine, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for St. Ledger Day one more time.
Okay, so in the Portland, you very kindly allowed me to go with two. So it'll be Steps and Ajad. In the Park Stakes, I'm going to take Visitoria. And in the Ledger, it will be Libertarian.
Good stuff. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy Saturday's racing.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry for St. Ledger Day at Doncaster. It's going to be another superb Saturday, I'm sure, and you can hear it all on Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Lord John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. They'll be live from 1:40 p.m. for the card at Doncaster, which features the Champagne Stakes, the Portland Handicap, the Park Stakes, and of course the final classic of the year, the St. Ledger, which is a Group 1 contest. And we've got racing alongside that from Chester, which a good card at Chester as well. They have the listed Stand Cup, the feature on their card. There's also racing at Bath and on the turf at Lingfield in the afternoon, and in the evening we finish with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. So five meetings to look forward to on Saturday. You'll hear them all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.